Good morning. It's a blessing to be with you again on this Sunday morning, the Lord's Day. Let's start by going to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our Father, our God in heaven, we thank you for another day that you've blessed us with. Father, especially another Lord's Day where we come together to worship you and to focus on studying your word and enjoying a day of rest. Father, be with us as we look into another portion of your word, please. Help us, Father, to learn the lessons you would have us to learn. Father, help us to take what we learn and apply it to our lives in a very practical way, that we might be a blessing in this world for the short time we're here. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to think for a minute this morning and recall a time when maybe you were out of town and visited another congregation. It's so encouraging in my experience to be greeted with a friendly smile and a kind word by and from people I don't even know and haven't met before. And then to worship together in spirit and truth and possibly get to know a few of the members, even though we may only be there for a short time. And it's like meeting members of your family that you've just never had the opportunity to meet before. And I've come back to California all excited and shared with this congregation I worship with and others about the other congregation that I found and discovered and enjoyed worshiping with and spending time with. And at times that was when I've been visiting like Pennsylvania or Southern California. Recently, we visited Montana and worshiped in Red Lodge, Montana. And the same experience, a small group worshiping there, but just enjoyed meeting more people and more brothers and sisters in God's family. And many other people in the church have also described to me encouraging experiences while worshiping and serving the Lord out of town. And what we're really describing when we talk about that is how we saw the grace of God at work in the lives of individual Christians and the church in that city or region as a whole. And that's what we found to be so encouraging. Well, it appears Barnabas experienced the same thing or very similar experience that many of us have experienced as he traveled to visit the church in Antioch. Because we read in Acts chapter 11, verse 23, when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. He saw the grace of God in the church. Even with the problems and the challenges, and I'm sure each one of those individuals in that congregation in Antioch had certain burdens and trials and challenges going on in their life. Regardless of all that, Barnabas saw the grace of God in the church. Well, we have a grace-driven purpose as individual Christians and in the church. We have a grace motivation, or we should have a grace motivation when it comes to sharing the grace of God and the good news of the gospel with others. Start this morning with me by turning over to Acts chapter 11 and starting in verse 19, following on down to verse 24. So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen being killed made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews alone. In verse 20, but there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believe turned to the Lord. I'm going to pause there for just a minute. Notice that as they began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus, they were speaking and preaching. And I think it's safe to say that perhaps more lives are touched through speaking the good news than preaching the good news, as far as preaching from behind the pulpit. We're all called to share the good news of Christ with others, the good news of the gospel. Certainly one means that good news is communicated is from the pulpit and by and through the preacher, but also through the members speaking the good news to other family members and their contacts, whether it be at work, in their neighborhood, or in their family. We continue on in verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. And this is where we find our text, verse 23. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced, and he began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he, Barnabas, was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. We pray for that in our own congregations, don't we? That more seed might be sown, we might find more open doors and open hearts to share the good news of the gospel, and that more people might come to believe and understand and accept that God loves you. He loved you enough to send his own son to die for you, and that people might come to believe that it is possible through faith in Christ to spend eternity with God. We pray for that for our own congregation, as well as for congregations around the world. Now, backtracking a little bit to Acts chapter 8 and verses 1 through 4, we find that Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him, referring to Stephen, to death. And on that day, a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. So here we find the church being scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, and they take with them the good news of the gospel. And I find this so amazing, challenging, and encouraging all at the same time, because instead of feeling sorry for themselves or questioning why is God allowing this to happen, I couldn't imagine being forcefully pushed out of my hometown and all that I'm familiar with as these Christians were. But still within them, they carried the good news of the gospel. Those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Jesus, of course, gave them and us the Great Commission. And it's our great mission as Christians, as a whole. We work together as a congregation to fulfill that Great Commission. And also our individual efforts as Christians to share the gospel and the good news with others. And that all stems from Jesus laying out our mission for us. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Think about the authority that Jesus holds. He had proven his authority over life and death itself as he was risen from the dead and now speaks to them as one who has been raised from the dead and has gained the victory over death. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." Thank God we can cling to that promise even this morning, that Jesus is with us even to the very end of the age. He's referring to the end of the Christian age. He's with us until he returns again to take us home to be with him, or until we pass from this world and we go on to spend eternity with him. He's with us in this effort. His mission, his commission has become our mission and our commission. Well, when you think back to the early Christians, we find that after those 3,000 were baptized there in Acts, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer, to fellowship, to communion. So what they did is all that teaching that they had learned from the apostles, that they had taken into their hearts and minds, it was still with them and still in them. And it was time for all that was in them to come out, even as they were scattered throughout these other regions. Deep appreciation for the grace of God was shown in them as they went and shared the gospel with others. I want to pause and think for a minute about the grace of God. Matthew 18 and starting in verse 21 will be our text. The goal being this morning that we might recognize and appreciate once again this morning the grace of God, and then find motivation to share that grace of God with others in hopes that they might experience it as well. Acts 18 and verse 21, Peter came and said to him, to Jesus, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." And then Jesus goes on to tell a parable or a story to help Peter understand and to help us understand forgiveness and the grace of God. "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him." A talent was worth more than 15 years' wages of a laborer. "But since he did not have the means to repay, his lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground, prostrated himself before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything.' And the lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt." What a beautiful story. He had no means to pay. His family was about to be potentially sold off into slavery, and this kind and compassionate master forgives him. The story doesn't end there. In verse 28, "But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seized him and began to choke him, saying, 'Pay back what you owe.' So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you.'" A denarius was about a day's wages, by the way. "But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?' And his lord, moved with anger now, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him." In verse 35, we find Jesus' lesson that goes with this story. "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." So we learn from Jesus God's willingness to provide forgiveness for us, but then he also expects us to show forgiveness for others and to share with others the forgiveness of God, the good news of the gospel. Forgiveness from God is available to you because of the great sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Well, these Christians in Antioch appreciated the mercy and the grace that God had shown to them. Remember, it's Jesus himself who also said, "He who is forgiven little loves little." When I recognize and acknowledge and appreciate that I've been forgiven much, it's easy for me to forgive others, or it should be. and to love others and be patient with others. They had a sincere love and concern for the lost in spite of their circumstances, in their case having been driven from all that was familiar to them and all that was valuable to them, their very homes. So another challenge for us this week and really throughout our Christian lives is to count our blessings, starting with God's grace and His forgiveness, and allow His grace to motivate us to share God's grace with others. They showed the grace of God, and Barnabas saw the grace of God in them, even in the face of persecution. Remember, they were scattered because of the persecution associated with Stephen being stoned. And those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Remember Paul's encouraging words to Timothy, trying to encourage his young son in the faith? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3. Share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ. I confess to you this morning, I don't like suffering. I don't go looking for suffering. But suffering does go with the territory of being a Christian. We have to be willing, as Paul encouraged Timothy, to share in the suffering of Christ. And the suffering that goes along goes with the territory of being a Christian, and be a good soldier of Christ. Peter makes it clear that suffering for doing what is right is commendable in God's sight. Yes, suffering is painful, but it's commendable in God's sight, and that makes it worthwhile. 1 Peter 2 and verse 19, the NIV translation reads, "It is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God." It's so easy to get upset and frustrated with unjust suffering because it's unjust. But it can be bearable when we remember and remind ourselves that it's commendable in God's sight. 1 Peter 2, verses 19 and 20, the ESV translation reads, "For this is a gracious thing." We're showing the grace of God when we're willing to suffer for doing what's right. "When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure?" You're getting what you deserve. Because he goes on to say, "But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God." Remember this morning also the parable that Jesus taught in Mark chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 16. The parable of the sower. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 16. "In a similar way, these are the ones whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away." We want to allow God's word to continue to grow in our hearts and our minds and produce fruit, and not allow it to be choked out, or for ourselves to fall away because of persecution or suffering and hardship that goes along with being a Christian. We want to be like that good soil that Jesus refers to in verse 20. "And those are the ones whom the seed was sown on the good soil, that hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. The grace of God trains us, the Bible says. And this is the final scripture, and the lesson is yours this morning. Excuse me. Paul wrote to another son in the faith, Titus, in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. Paul writes and says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." Watch verse 12. "Training us to renounce ungodliness, to turn away from ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory and great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you." So again, Paul was teaching Titus, and we're reminded and taught this morning by the grace of God. We're trained and taught to renounce, to turn away from ungodliness and worldly passions, and instead live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in Christ Jesus because of God's grace shown to us. When we allow the grace of God to train us, others will see the grace of God in us and in our lives. And that will open doors for us to share the good news of His grace with others. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our Father, our God in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you so much for your grace, your mercy, your patience with us. Father, we pray that we can share and show your grace to others. Be with us throughout this coming week, Father. We pray that the grace of God might be evident in us and in our lives and all that we say and do, on our jobs and our neighborhoods, Father, and all those we come in contact and rub shoulders with. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to turn our minds now to preparing for the Lord's Supper. And in doing so, we'll turn over to Matthew chapter 26 and starting in verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." When he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer for the bread. Our Father, our God in heaven, we thank you once again on this Lord's Day for Jesus, your Son, and his sacrifice on the cross on our behalf. We thank you that he was willing to endure the pain and the suffering, the humiliation, all that we deserve for our sins, Father. He was willing to endure as the blameless one and the sinless one. We pray as we partake of this unleavened bread, we can do so in a way that's pleasing in your sight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer for the fruit of the vine representing that blood that was shed on our behalf. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come to you once again thanking you for that blood of Christ, that precious, valuable blood that made propitiation, that acceptable payment to you for our sin debt. We pray that as we partake of this fruit of the vine that represents that precious blood, we can do so, Father, examining ourselves and remembering his great sacrifice and all that it means for us in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we'll go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, just asking for strength and for wisdom to make it through this day and the rest of this coming week. Our Father, our God in heaven, we thank you again for all that you've done for us, even granting us this day and the very life and breath that comes with it. Father, we pray that you'd be with us, please, during this coming week. Provide for us the strength, spiritual strength and physical strength we need. Father, wisdom that we can only find in your word to live our lives in this world in a way that brings honor and glory to you. Father, we recognize and acknowledge that we're weak, Father. We're fools without you and can have no way to become wise aside from you and your word and all that you've revealed to us. Help us to take all that you've given us, Father, and put it into practice as best we can during our short time here. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.